We're going to title the message, When a Soul Was Saved. What takes place when a soul is saved? A lot of great things take place whenever someone trusts Christ as their Savior. And that's what we're going to try to focus on this evening. So I got a total. You want me to tell you my total? I got 8 points down through here. But since I've been doing that on Sunday mornings, I've been doing them quick. I've been hitting it pretty quick and getting out. So you pray that the Lord would bless us this evening, and pray that the Lord would intercede in this time of sickness for people. And it just, we're in uncharted waters. But you know what? We know the people that runs the waters. And I know God's got everything. I don't worry about all this stuff that people worry about. I don't, not one bit. I might get run over by a bus or something when I leave here tonight, but I'm going to tell you what. I know God's got it. And as long as He's got it, there ain't no use God's people worrying about it. The Lord's got it, and we're thankful for that. When a soul was saved, that's what the title was going to be this evening. And what we're going to do is begin in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 and verse 5, and then we'll start working ourselves down through the text. What happens when someone gets born again? What happens whenever the Lord saves a sinner? So what I'm going to do is share with you what takes place whenever God saves a sinner. The greatest thing in the world that could ever happen to anybody is for them to receive the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Do you not agree? Having everlasting life is the greatest thing that we could have. So what takes place when God saves a sinner? Are you ready? Number one, Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 1, it gives us the first things that happens when God saves a sinner. The very first thing, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now notice it says, before we were born again, before we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, what did it say we were? Dead. We were a spiritual corpse. We really was. And if it wasn't for Jesus interceding on our behalf, we would still be in that same condition. You see, before I was born again, I was dead in trespasses and in sins. And I want you to hear this. You don't want to die there. You don't want to die there. So when the Lord saves a sinner, one of the first things that happens when He does that is He quickens them, which means He makes them alive. And that's what He done for us. Aren't you glad of that? What's the greatest thing God ever done for you? The greatest thing is He quickened you. He made you alive. And when He made you alive, you realized that you was a sinner. And then as a result of that, you trusted Jesus as your Savior. That's quickening. And that's what the Lord does in quickening. Now look in Ephesians 2 and verse 5. It mentions the word quickened again. What's quickened mean? Made alive. Who made you alive? Jesus did. The Holy Spirit did. God did. Aren't you glad He made you alive? If He never made me alive, I'd still be in my sin. I'd be still in the same old lifestyle that I was in before. What did God do for Jeff Arthur? He made me alive. He made me alive. And I'm forever grateful for that. So when a soul is saved, what happens? The first thing that happens is that God quickens them. He makes them alive, and they see their need for Jesus, and they trust Jesus as their Savior. Quickening is one of the most important terms, Bible terms, that you could learn. And that's what happens when he saves a sinner. He quickens them, which means he makes them alive. How many of you tonight are made alive? Would you raise your light? How many is made? Think about it. I've been made alive. Can't put a price tag on it. How long does being made alive last? Thank you, Stewie. It lasts forever. When he makes you alive in the new birth, it lasts forever. All God's people see it. Amen. All right. When a soul is saved, there is quickening. He makes the sinner alive, and they see their need for salvation. And then as a result of that, they trust Jesus as their Savior. Number two. I'm going to try to move quick on this, but boy, y'all probably hungry, I figure. Starved. Yeah, starved to death, ain't you? Number two, when a soul is saved, there is a believing. Not only when a soul is saved, there's a quickening being made alive, but when a soul is saved, there's also a believing. And by believing, we're talking about, we believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior. Can I ask you a question this evening? Have you believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's only one Savior. There ain't 10,000 different Saviors. There's only one Savior, and that's Jesus. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believeth in Him shall not perish, but have what? Man, we could go to the house right now, and that'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? How long is everlasting life? It's forever. It's forever life. You know what I have? I got forever life. There'll be a day in my life, probably, unless if the Lord doesn't come in my lifetime, there might be a time that I die, but I still have forever life. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live how long? Forever. I'm going to live forever. And what could be any greater than that? If I would die today or I'd die tomorrow, where would I go? Man, go to heaven, don't you? Go to heaven. What's any greater than going to heaven? Nothing. It's the greatest benefit package anybody could ever have is to go to heaven. To go to heaven at the end of your days. So, when a soul is saved and people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what gives a sinner person everlasting life. As a church, that's what we want people to have. We want them to have everlasting life. You see, if you don't have everlasting life and you die, you don't have anything that's going to last. You need eternal life more than anything else there is. There's nothing of any more value. The Scripture says the gift of God is eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. When a soul is saved, what happens? There's quickening. When a soul is saved, what else are there? There's believing. When someone trusts Christ as their Savior and they believe on Him, they receive everlasting life. Number three, what are we looking at this evening? When a soul is saved, what happens when a soul is saved? The Holy Spirit quickens them and He makes them alive. What else does He do? There's a believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we move to number three. When a soul is saved, there is a calling. When a soul is saved, there is a calling. And this calling is an inward calling. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. When a soul is saved, there is a calling. Do y'all realize that the Lord calls the sinner? Does everybody in the house realize that it is the Lord that calls the sinner out of the lost condition that they're in? That's a glorious thing. He called you out. Amen. He called you out. That's what he did. Number three, when a soul is saved, there's a calling. Notice what it says in Romans 10 and the verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that what it said? Whosoever does what? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you a question this evening. Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Don't wait too long to do it. When you hear it, that's when you should trust it. You shouldn't put it off to other days and other times where I'm going to do this one of these days. Many people don't. I don't know if you've ever been through this before. Now, I have because I've preached so long. Sometimes you'll talk to people that are lost people, and you share the gospel with them, and you tell them about Jesus and the need of salvation and things of that nature. And you encourage them to trust Jesus as their Savior. But they'll say oftentimes, I'm going to put off my decision. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm going to put off my decision. How do you know you got to... What's going to happen if you die before you make your decision? A lot of people die that way. They come to churches, they read the Bible, they pray, and they do certain things, but they've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. And they gamble. See, the greatest gamblers isn't in Las Vegas. The greatest gamblers are those who believe in eternal life and believe there's a heaven of hell, but gamble that there's going to be another day for them to do it. There's going to be another day. You don't know that. You need to get saved now. You need to get saved now. It's important that you do it. When the Lord saves a sinner, there's a calling, there's an inward calling that takes place in the heart. And He draws you. Scripture says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He does that in the new birth. He makes you alive and He draws you to Himself. I don't know about you this evening. Do you feel like the Lord's drawing you to Himself? Have you ever trusted Him as your Savior? Don't gamble with that thing. But it is a calling. It is a calling. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm doing pretty good as far as time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Kind of this, it's the same thing here too. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look at the verse 22, and we'll work our way down through the text a bit. For the Jews require a sign. They always wanted a sign of proof. They didn't want to accept what Jesus said. For the Jews require a sign. 1 Corinthians 1 and the verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Is that what we preach here? We preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To be saved by a crucified, risen Savior was ridiculous to the Jews as a whole. As a whole, they rejected Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah and still is the Messiah. But they rejected Him. So we preach Christ crucified. And what was that to the Jews, it says in verse 23? It was a stumbling block. You know what they were looking for? You know what the Jews was looking for? They were looking for King David to come in with his armies to run all the Romans and things out of the land. That's what they looked for. They were looking for a warrior. They were looking for a Samson. They were looking for all these types of people to set them free. But the only way they could truly be set free is by trusting Jesus as their Savior. I'm free. I want you to know something here tonight. I'm free. I've been set free from my sin debt. I have everlasting life. My name's written in heaven. What a glorious thing that is. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have? When a soul is saved, there's a calling. Who does the calling? Holy Spirit. You realize the Holy Spirit calls you? Is that an audible voice? No, it's an inward voice. He talks to your heart or your mind. And you see your need for a Savior and you trust Him as a Savior. Trust Him as your Savior. All right, we've looked at 3 points so far. When a soul is saved, there is quickening. What does that mean? Made alive. Number two, when a soul is saved, there is believing. There is believing. Number three, when a soul is saved, there is a calling, which is an inward calling that draws you to Himself. Number four, when a soul is saved, there is fear. Let's go now to the book of Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Jesus saved a man when he was dying on the cross. I just think it's a wonderful time to save somebody. I mean, you can clearly, I mean, people always look for examples. And one of the great examples of salvation there is in this particular text in the book of Luke chapter 23, 39 through 43. See, when Jesus was on the cross, there was 2 sinner men there that day. The people, vast majority of people was mocking Him, but on each side of Him, there was 2 malefactors. You know what a malefactor is? 2 criminals. Thieves. So they were dying there on the cross. And what happened is with these 2 on either side of Him, there's a drastic change happened to one of them. It was a major change. This one thief was dying. He knew he was dying. He knew he wasn't ready to go either. He knew he wasn't ready to go. Here's what happened. Are you ready? Let's look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors, what's a malefactor? It's a criminal. These guys were thieves. They deserved what they was getting, according to the law. So he says, one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, if you be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, now watch this. You see the change? I want you to see the change here. Both these thieves mocked him in the beginning. But now there's a drastic change that takes place in this text. The other answered, rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God? I could imagine that guy thought, what in the world what's got into you? He was a mocker before like everybody else was. But here right now, there's a change that's taken place in his heart. Conviction has taken place in his heart. And he begins in verse 40. I want you to look at verse 40. What's it say that happened to him? What hit his heart here this day? Fear. Fear of who? He said, don't you fear God? This one thief was remained to be in a mock. Both thieves were mockers in the beginning. But this other thief realized. Conviction took his heart. He realized he wasn't ready. He realized that he could die at any time. He didn't know what. He was dying. He was nailed to a. He was on a cross. What could he do? You know what he could do? He could call. Can I say it one more time? What could he do? He could call. You know, Scripture says in Romans 10 that 13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Y'all believe it?
Amen.
Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what that old boy did. Jesus, you know what Jesus told this man? He said, today. It's everybody say today.
Today.
Today thou shalt be with me. Where at? Can I ask you a question? Who's better off today? Amen. Who's better off? Who's better off? I've told you this a million times. I wish I quit saying it. I miss my pop. And sister, I miss Lonnie
Amen.
Just as much, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of everybody here, who's better off? Mad by
Amen.
Far. Most horrible thing in the world would be not to have salvation. To die without Jesus would be a horrible thing. To die with Jesus is the greatest thing that could ever happen.
Amen.
All God's people see it.
Amen.
All right, let me keep rolling. See, I've been preaching shorter sermons on that live streaming thing. Yeah. Do what?
Short pay.
Short pay. Short pay. All right, when a soul is saved, there's quickening. Everybody understand what that is? When a soul is saved, there is a call. There's a calling also. When a soul is saved, there's also fear. When a soul is saved, there is also fear. It's mentioned in Luke chapter 23, which is what we just talked about. Dost not thou fear God? You know, one time I tell you what, I am afraid of God. I don't want to do anything that I want to reverence Him. I do have a godly fear of Him. But you want to know something else? I know God also loves me. How many of you know God loves you?
Yes.
And do you know there's nobody that loves you
Amen.
As much as He does?
Amen.
Nobody. We sing a song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And that's still true. That's still true all the way down to today. It's a wonderful thing. Okay? So when a soul is saved, there's fear. You'll see that thief on the cross. Dost not thou fear God? Number five, when a soul is saved, there's a continuing. There's a continuing. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 8. I should be close by for that one. John chapter 8. I'm moving through this pretty quick, I think. John chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 31. when a saint is born again, or when somebody is saved and born again, not only is there a quickening, not only is there a believing, not only is there a calling, not only is there a fear of God, which makes you want to be saved, but there's also a continuing. John chapter 8 and verse 31 says, "If ye continue." Hear me now. Here's what it says. "If ye continue, then ye are my disciples." In what?
Indeed.
Indeed. If you do what? I hate to say this to you, but a lot of people don't make it. A lot of people make professions of faith and they'll continue just for a little bit, and then they'll go back the exact same way they was before. They don't do what? They don't continue. I get excited when I see people get saved, but I get excited when I see them continue. I get excited over that. If you continue, then you are my disciples indeed. That's five. I only got three more. This is number six. When a soul is saved, there's a serving. When a soul is saved, there is a serving or a service. When you're born again and when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you realize you're on active duty all your days? How many realize that? We're servants. We are what?
Servants.
We're servants. How long we serve?
Forever.
We serve forever, don't we? We serve while we're here, then the Lord takes us out of here, we'll serve Him up there.
Amen.
We are what?
Servants.
We are servants. And a soul is saved. When a soul is saved, they become a servant. And when someone's born again and trusts Jesus, I look for them to become a servant. I look for a changed life. That's what I look for. Like I said before, I worry when someone makes professions and it doesn't change their life. Do y'all agree with me? I get real nervous over things like that. If I don't see it change them, just something ain't right there somewhere. Y'all agree with me? You say, "Well, you don't know anybody's heart." No, neither do you. Neither do you. But I'm telling you one thing right now, when someone's born again, there'll be a change in the conduct in their life. And they'll have a love for the Lord. And they'll have a love for the Lord. It's an important thing for people to have that. When a soul is saved, there's a service for the Lord. The thing that bothers me as a pastor more than anything else in this world is for people to make a profession of faith and never serve the Lord. That bothers me. I can't handle that. I think when you're born again, the main thing's Jesus.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
I think the main thing, now that I'm born again, I think the main thing is Jesus. I don't think you should put anything over the main thing, which is Jesus. I think He comes before everything. I think He should be number one in our lives. I don't think He should play second fiddle to anything or anybody. I really don't. And I think God's people, that's who needs to be number what? Number one. When a soul is saved, there's a serving of Him. Y'all like serving Jesus? I'd love to do that. I want to serve Him all my days, don't you? Do you think it's boring serving Jesus? Man, I think it's a privilege and an honor to serve Jesus. And that's what he wants to, do in his people. Number seven, when a soul was saved, there's a love for God's people. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. You didn't think I could do that many points in one sermon, did you, Stewie? 1 John chapter 3. My buddy. 1 John chapter 3. When a soul is saved, there's a love for God's people. So when you've been born again, beloved, I love God's people. I just love them. I was so tickled to walk through that door back there to see the people in here. To me, looked like 1,000 people because I've just been preaching to 2 or 3 people. I'm about to blow up. But I miss the people. How many of you miss the people? How many of you miss the pastor? It's good to be missed. It's good to be missed. When a soul was saved, there's a love for God's people. Y'all agree with me?
Amen.
You love God's people. God's people loves one another. That's one of the characteristics. By this will all men know. Here's what the scripture says. By this will all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. All God's people see it. Do you love God's people?
Amen.
How many of you love God's people? It's a glorious, glorious thing, man. And you know what we're going to do one of these days? We're going to spend forever together. We're going to spend forever together. You don't want to take Lee alone?
That's what I thought.
Forever together. Think how wonderful of a thing that is. We're going to spend forever together. I like it. Do you? Number 8. And this is the last one. And I'm going to go over it again real quick so you can write it down. When a soul is saved, this is Psalms 26 and verse 8. Just go ahead and turn to that. Psalms 26 and the verse 8. When a soul is saved, there's a desire to be with God's people. When a soul is saved. Now, I remember when I wasn't saved and I didn't like saved people. I didn't want to be around them. Well, they think they're better than everybody else. I had every excuse in the world. But once the Lord saved my soul, it changed how I looked at Christians. Did it? You? It changed how I looked. I couldn't stand them before. But, buddy, after I got saved, I found out that those were the most dearest friends I'd ever have. The most dearest friends I'd ever have. Psalms 26 and verse 8. Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house. What's the habitation of his house here tonight? It's his church. Here back in the Old Testament would have been the temple, wouldn't it? They called the temple God's house. The church is also called God's house. Lord, I've loved the habitation. Do you like to habitate at God's house? Man, I love to be at God's house. I like to hear the singing. I like to hear the preaching. I like to sit with and talk to the people. I love God's... Hey, how many of you love God's people? Raise your hand. Just love to be with them. Love to be with them. Psalms 122. This will be my last one. Psalms 122. Now I'm going to wrap it up with a cover here in just a second. Psalms 122. Psalms 122 and the verse 6. For there are set thrones of judgments and thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee. Verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. I will seek thy good. Does God seek your good? He does, doesn't he? Isn't it wonderful to have a God that loves you, that seeks your good? This message title tonight is When a Soul is Saved, What Happens? There's quickening. There's believing. There's a calling. There's a fear of God. There's a continuing. There's a serving. And there's a love for God's people and a love for God's house. All God's people said,
amen.
Hope the Lord bless you. Let's all stand.